The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and with me this morning, Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, information you can use, and I'm just going to start off with a little article that is very, very much in alignment with the approach that I like to use. And what is that article doing? Well, it's talking about you might not necessarily need your statin drug. And it's a huge industry. But have we seen it reduce the number of heart attacks and strokes? Not so much. And here's a statement that I really, really liked, and I haven't ever seen it in print before. High cholesterol levels may be protective. Isn't that a fabulous thing? So when you think about how your brain needs to work, it needs the proper balance of correct fatty acids. So that HDL-LDL ratio may be very protective of your brain chemistry. You need that proper ratio of HDL-LDL. And remember, I'm saying LDL, I'm not saying HDL and the bad cholesterol. I'm saying HDL-LDL, because LDL has some critically important functions. So LDL being very supportive of your immune system. Your immune system relies on a proper ratio of cholesterol. Your joints need to be properly flexible, and one of the things that's going to be supportive of that flexibility, cholesterol levels. Your liver needs to make all kinds of different enzymes to break apart toxic debris and get it out of your body. Yes, indeed, it needs cholesterol for that. For the formation of bile to digest fat-containing foods. For the absorption of fat-soluble nutrients. Have I convinced you yet? So, good morning, Dr. Slavin. What do you think of all that? That's my pet project, telling people about cholesterol.
Well, we see a lot of patients with elevated cholesterol. And I ask patients that come in on a statin drug, and I say to them, why are you taking a statin drug?
And they say?
To lower my cholesterol. Then I ask them, why do you want to lower your cholesterol?
Oh, boy, we are so on the same page.
And that's the question that stumps them. But some of them might say, well, I want to prevent heart disease. Well, what we do, if we find a high cholesterol that I think might be contributing to heart disease, we do a calcium score. It's a heart scan to see if there's any sign of heart disease. In other words, plaque in the coronary arteries. And more often than not, we don't see that. So there are a lot of patients taking the statin drugs. And I think we mentioned yesterday that statin drugs one of the categories of medication associated with mitochondrial damage.
Right.
And mitochondrial damage can actually create heart disease.
Isn't that? Now, do you think that the researchers at the pharmaceutical companies didn't know that?
Well, they knew it.
Yes, they did.
Coming over here, I saw a headline.
Were you driving fast?
No. Just about the fact that since healthcare is for profit, is it designed then to allow people to get sick so that money is made on treating sick people? Because it seems from the behavior of mainstream medicine, and that behavior in blocking or trying to block almost every natural approach to staying healthy, that would be their motive. And who's behind mainstream medicine is the drug companies. So really, they don't want to have any competition.
And what is the drug company's reason for being?
Well, as a corporation, it's money.
Absolutely.
The bottom line, they're in business to make money.
So they are responsible to their shareholders to be producing a profit. And you can't produce a pharmaceutical corporation profit without disease.
Now, interestingly, in every aspect of the economy except healthcare, I would say, I haven't given this a lot of thought, but follow this thought. You have competition for approaches to solving problems. But with healthcare, you're knocking out the competition and just allowing the drug companies to be the sole solution to healthcare problems.
So knocking out the competition with the assistance of the FDA.
Yeah, no, well, the government, with the assistance of the government. Well, I think they're all one and the same, because if you have employees going back between government and private agencies, the drug companies, the government, back and forth, you know, there's no difference. But the question you have to ask yourself, why, you know, they would go after chelation therapy, for example. Well, why would they do that if, as they claim, it didn't work? I mean, if something didn't work, if a treatment didn't work, why would they care to go after it? You know, that's what they say, but the testing, the studies have shown that it is a very effective approach. And the problem for them is if everybody decided to do chelation therapy, you would remove the need for bypass surgery, one of the biggest money makers in mainstream medicine.
Dr. Slavin, you mentioned instead of relying on cholesterol as a predictor of coronary heart disease, the measurement that you use is plaque in the circulatory system. Okay, so you measure that plaque. What is that plaque made up of?
Well, part of it is cholesterol.
And the
calcium.
Other? Yeah. Okay, now what is one substance that the medical community says to their patients? Don't forget to take your calcium.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't think they're that smart. I think they're saying take calcium because, you know, what they've said was avoid hip fractures because of osteoporosis, take calcium. But we know just taking calcium is not going to avoid hip fractures. So here they've addressed the problem without addressing it. So they continue to make money on hip fractures.
And continue to make money by clogging your arteries along with cholesterol. So very, very interesting when you delve into this. Do you think we're kind of behind the curve about catching on to what the pharmaceutical companies and the government and the insurance companies are doing? It seems to me this is such a very huge aspect to understand that they have to have been at it for a very long time and refining it and refining it and refining it.
No, definitely. It goes back to the early 1900s when, you know, drug companies came on the scene and they had to sell their drugs. Prior to that, you didn't really have this big drug companies. You had little manufacturers perhaps, but usually they dealt with purely natural products to try and help people get better. But more importantly, I think it was more honest back then where they said, all right, if this is what's making you sick, let's avoid what's making you sick. Now they say, if this is what's making you sick, well, let's disregard that. Just take this drug and you'll feel better.
I'm going to say, though, it probably goes back literally hundreds of years because the people who are helpful at creating health or supporting good health or helping you overcome a challenge, a health challenge, those people have some power in the community, like a shaman. And so here's my thought process. Why were they burning the witches in the 1600s, 1500s, 1600s? Because those people were healers and potentially were developing power in the community. So I think we're just seeing this progression in search of power.
In other words, human nature.
There you go.
You started off the program today talking about cholesterol. Now, back in 2015, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition came out with a statement said it's safe to eat 12 eggs a week. Now, how many people do you see that are still afraid to eat eggs?
Lots. And people who are throwing away the yolks or just buying egg whites. And the truth of the matter is they are missing out on an absolute nutritional powerhouse when they're avoiding the yolks.
So in this particular study, they had two groups of people, those with type 2 diabetes and those with pre-diabetes, which I guess is everybody else. And they were assigned to one of two groups, either eat your 12 eggs a week or you're on a low egg diet. That would be less than 2 eggs per week. And I can remember, though, back when this whole cholesterol issue was at its height, and there was an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine referring to a person that was eating a dozen or two dozen eggs a week, and he had no cholesterol problems. And they couldn't explain it, really. You know, how could you eat cholesterol? The answer is the cholesterol in your arteries doesn't come from the food you eat. It comes from manufacturing in your body.
And so many times I hear from clients who come to see me that their doctor has said, well, you know, I guess in your family you're one of those individuals who manufactures too much cholesterol. It may be a familial problem. And the truth of the matter is it's a dietary problem, but it has nothing to do with consuming eggs, consuming fats, and consuming foods that contain cholesterol. The issue has to do with refined carbohydrates and sugars, artificial sweeteners, and poor quality fat. So any fat that is highly processed and from a questionable source, rapeseed oil, better known as canola, that may be a part of the problem. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back with more.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin and lots of information to improve your good health. Dr. Slavin?
All right. So talking about cholesterol, a survey of South Carolina adults found no correlation of blood cholesterol levels with so-called, well, what you've been told were bad dietary habits, such as eating red meat, animal fats, butter, eggs, whole milk, bacon, sausage, cheese. In other words, those foods didn't raise your cholesterol. So what raises the cholesterol is what they told you to eat. You know, they told you to eat all those carbohydrates, the cereals.
Was that a mistake?
Well, that's interesting to say that. Let's see what the timing of that is. Was that around the time they started coming out with statin drugs?
Isn't that a coincidence? Very, very scary stuff, that you're getting the information to take 12 to 1500 milligrams of calcium. It's calcium that is a significant contributor to, arterial plaque. Corporations bringing to the marketplace artificial sweeteners like Equal and Splenda that contribute to inflammation. Inflammation in your blood vessels contributes to elevated LDL, and that LDL contributes to obstruction in your arteries, not only the coronary arteries, but throughout your body. You're going to have not only blockages, but stiffness. And, you know, there are so many details, and the nutrition information being provided by your primary care physician and your cardiologist may very well lead you astray.
But they're being led astray as well, so.
Oh, but Dr. Slavin, you came out of medical school. And you took in what they taught you in medical school, but after a certain number of years of practicing medicine, you were seeing that the outcome was not optimal and that there were other viewpoints to integrate into a practice. And then ultimately you're at a point now where you're saying, let's not even create the disease. Let's get there before. Let's find out the underlying cause.
If you accept the premise that you don't have to get sick as you get older, then all you have to do is look at the people that get older. They're on no medications. They seem to be very well, and see what they're doing. And when you see what they're doing, you know, they're eating properly, they're exercising, their weight is under control, all the things that we recognize as being a healthy lifestyle, and it pays off. If you ignore all those things, which a large percentage of Americans do, then you wind up with all the health problems associated with unhealthy lifestyles, including the mass intake of drugs, because that's what's going on here. We're taking more and more drugs. Doesn't solve the problem, but I think it just makes people feel that they're doing something.
It's very, very interesting, because if we were to take a look at longevity in different countries, we would possibly connect that with the typical diet of that nation. And then we might even factor in how much do these citizens take in pharmaceuticals. And you make the comparison, and then you think about the statistics from around the world. The United States, for all of the money that we spend on so-called health care, we're not very healthy, and we are not experiencing healthy longevity. I don't care how long we live if so high a percentage of the population wind up not able to function, not able to walk without a walker, ultimately confined to a wheelchair, or not able to completely care for themselves. They must have assistance in order to live. That when you start looking at all of those aspects, we don't compare very well with the rest of the world.
Well, I think a good way to think about healthcare, it's 20% of the gross domestic product.
Whoa, that's pretty high, isn't it? I'm surprised. I had no idea it was that number. Okay, so we've been told that the changes in health insurance are healthcare reform, but the truth of the matter is it hasn't been any kind of reforming at all because we're still so much relying on an insurance industry that only covers pharmaceuticals. No acknowledgement of the benefits and the lower cost for natural substances and natural therapies. So many different therapies available out there to support good health and very economically favorable, but not covered by health insurance. I just think that it's very, very odd that the insurance companies would not necessarily want to educate the population about taking really good care of themselves. Instead, what they are doing is giving people kind of misleading information. Oh, here, take a mammogram. We know that doesn't support health. Oh, here, take a bone density scan. How are they measuring that bone density? Comparing an individual to a 25-year-old and then diagnosing osteoporosis, for which they highly recommend, with very strong terms, pharmaceuticals. So very, very high-priced technology, and then follow that technology falsely with a pharmaceutical.
Now, actually, it's projected to be a fifth of the gross domestic product by 2021. It's just short of that right now. But in the year 2021, it'll probably get there sooner than this. The government will spend $2.4 trillion on health care, half of all U.S. medical expenditures, according to the analysis in health affairs by actuaries and economists. But the incentive is not to lower the number, it's to increase that number, because who's getting that money, if you think about it? Now, I think a large proportion of that money comes from, you know, government health care programs, Medicare, Medicaid. Then the other major part of it comes from you buying health insurance. So who's the beneficiary of all this?
Shareholders of corporations, CEOs, high administration people in the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, and in the food industry, and in the lobbying firms that work for those corporations. Very, very interesting when you start following the dollar.
Now, there was a book written many years ago, and I used to refer to it when I would do the program, just to see where we stand, and that's the name of the book, because they would compare all aspects of healthcare between countries. And I wanted to compare the United States with another country that would be considered comparable socioeconomically, and therefore I looked at England, and specifically the number of bypass operations done. And we did far more bypass operations than in England. And the other thing I wanted to compare with was, what's the life expectancy between the two countries? It was the same. So they were living the same length of time as we are, yet we're doing all these procedures supposedly to prolong life. Doesn't appear to be making a difference. So these are all the different ways money is being spent, probably wastefully, but I don't know what the solution is, because what would happen if you waved a wand and everybody got healthy, and you didn't need, you eliminated cancer and you eliminated heart disease? What would happen to the if one-fifth of the economy is running on health care? You know, what happens?
A very devastating economic crash. So we have allowed that healthcare industry to progress and progress and progress to an aspect of our economy that would make it extremely difficult to change. We would be in an economic depression, essentially, for 20% of the economy to crash. So here's my thought, that so many of the people who listen to our show, they are very, very gradually understanding that the pharmaceuticals that they've been told by their doctors are going to save their lives, maybe not so much, that they very gradually may see that they are going to begin eliminating very slowly some of the pharmaceuticals and relying on testing to see where they stand with regard to very important markers of developing disease and markers that are supportive of health. So, Dr. Slavin, if somebody were of the mindset that they very gradually want to begin to make some changes, what would be a beginning test for them to do that would give them an insight? Let's say, should it be evaluating their nutrition status? Should it be evaluating markers of inflammation? Where would you say is the best place to start?
Well, a test that's probably not being routinely done, because patients are getting by their doctors, usually a CBC, a chemistry panel, probably checking their cholesterol, mini panel on thyroid. They don't do the complete panel.
Isn't that amazing?
Problem, and that's where it ends. But if I had to pick out the most important one, in addition to that, would be a fasting insulin level.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Now you're going to get that information on a fasting insulin level, and tell me why you think that is the place to start.
The biggest problem we have relates to high blood pressure, high cholesterol, prediabetes and diabetes, and they're all related to insulin resistance.
I just want to say then, okay, they're on the path to developing diabetes. What does that mean? That they are on the path to cancer and heart disease are two big killers.
So if you can identify people at risk, they may not have all those problems yet, but they're on the path to getting those problems. So if you can tell them, you know, slow down, make these changes, you can save them a lot of health issues.
Okay, slow down that path to destruction. And you can do it with very, very simple tests. And when you say, Dr. Slavin, just insulin gives you the beginning information for so many different issues. And that music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about testing that you can do to minimize the possibility that you'll wind up on that pharmaceutical path that may very well lead to the surgical path that could very well lead to all manner of different medical treatment. And we see that that is the pathway because that's 20 or more percentage of the gross national product here in the United States. That's a huge aspect of our economic situation. Dr. Slavin?
Do doctors still say that taking vitamin supplements is worthless?
Yes. I routinely hear in counseling with my clients that, oh, you're going for the expensive urine, or, oh, just throw those away. They're worthless. Throw them away. What are you wasting your money for?
Well, maybe this proves what I was saying earlier, that they don't want the competition. And by eliminating the competition, they assure the continuation of illness that they can treat. And I'll give you an example. By the age of 80, more than half of Americans have cataracts or have had cataract surgery. So I think we all know what cataracts are. It's a clouding of the lens, and the surgery is removing the lens so you can see again. And it happens to be the most common operation performed in the U.S. I used to think some of the others were more common, but
okay.
I guess the most common non-cosmetic surgery in the United States.
Okay. Here's my thought process. You're saying it's the most common non-cosmetic. To a certain extent, it does have a cosmetic sense about it, that by the use of a lens implantation, you're able to avoid using glasses, and some people might feel that that's a dramatic improvement in their appearance, that they won't look so old.
All right. Well, there was a published study that looked at 1,000 twins. Sometimes you have to use twins to figure if it's a genetic or environmental component to a problem. And they found that the incidence of cataracts were probably associated with genetics maybe 35% of the time. That means 65% of the time they weren't. However, and the term epigenomics we're going to become more and more familiar with over the years, and that's showing the impact of your environment or your lifestyle on your genetics. So it's not enough to say, well, you know, it runs in my family, therefore I can't escape it. You can. So what did they find in this particular study? In particular, they found vitamin C played a protective role in protecting against cataracts. So that's why I say, well, if your doctor say you don't need vitamin C, well, sure, this way we can do more cataract surgeries.
Okay, tell me the statistic again. The number of people at age 80 that have had
more than half
have
cataracts or had surgery
by age 80. Mm-hmm. Okay, very interesting. And I would say so much of it does have to do with nutrition status, and the other part of it is sugar consumption. It'd be very, very interesting to see really comprehensive blood work on those people who have not had cataract surgery and they're 80 years old, and those who have needed to have cataract surgery. Very important, very much dependent on your diet and lifestyle. As you're saying, Dr. Slavin, genetics is not necessarily a foregone conclusion for developing a certain disease. You might have to work a little bit harder nutritionally and focus your nutrition efforts, both your diet and lifestyle, as well as supplementing, in order to overcome a genetic predisposition.
Now, they're not saying automatically take vitamin C supplements. They're saying eat a diet high in vitamin C.
Okay, so one of the highest vitamin C content choices people can make, peppers. I think very often people would make the decision, okay, oranges and orange juice, but both of those are very high in sugar. So you're balancing the intake of vitamin C and bioflavonoids with the oranges and orange juice. You use the peppers and your vitamin C will be very well supported.
Now, the way they started the study, they looked at those people entering the study. Those who had the highest intake of vitamin C showed a 20% lower risk of developing cataracts. But they did the study for 10 years. And 10 years later, a vitamin C-rich diet was linked to a 33% lower risk of cataract progression. So you can see just how important vitamin C is. Now, how do you know if you're getting enough vitamin C?
Ooh, I know one way to find out if you're getting enough vitamin C. You can come to Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And I'm not just saying that because they're our sponsor, but that's a critically important bit of information that people really need to know. It is so protective. So you can do a nutrition evaluation at Advanced Medical Testing Centers that will show you your status not only with regard to vitamin C, but a whole host of nutrients that play an enormously important role in maintaining your good health.
And when you start looking at the connection between optimal nutrition and the incidence of illness, in this case the appearance of cataracts, you realize there are a lot of other factors involved with the development of cataracts besides vitamin C. You have the B vitamins, the omega-3 fatty acids, multivitamins, carbohydrates, lutein and zeaxanthin. Now, the point here is your doctors are telling the patients, you can get all of your nutrition from your diet.
I had that discussion with somebody just yesterday. That's what their doctor told them.
Okay, and I'll agree with that. But
you will?
Well, I'll agree with under one caveat, is get tested just to make sure.
Okay, and see, I say even with the most focused and high quality diet, I don't necessarily believe that you can achieve optimal levels of nutrients.
Well, I know you can't.
Oh, okay.
But if you're going to go along with what your doctor tells you,
test
to make sure that you're getting everything from the diet. He says you can get all your nutrition from your diet. I remember a long time ago, a college professor said, it doesn't matter what you eat, you know, as long as you get your calories, you have all the nutrition that you need. And I think that's still the way they think. If they didn't think that way, they wouldn't practice the way they do, handing out prescription drugs instead of counseling about the importance of better nutrition.
It's interesting because I had a client yesterday and her doctor told her, yes, eat the ice cream, eat the pastries, have the cookies, eat every different high calorie food that you can consume because she had lost weight after an injury. And the truth of the matter is you need quality in order to recover from an injury. You need quality nutrients in order to maintain muscle density. So sugar is not going to build quality tissue. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a graduate board-certified physician to really understand. In order to build a quality body, you need quality food.
What does it take?
Basic common sense. And I think that's another area where so much of our medical community has gone astray. They have lost all ability to think in a common sense way.
Well, they've been brainwashed. That's why they've lost it.
I'm sorry, but these are the most intelligent people in our population that they are not able to recover from their brainwashing. I do understand brainwashing, and I understand that the medical schooling that our doctors receive make them very, very vulnerable to brainwashing, that they're exhausted, they're overworked, and consequently they just take in what they have to take in to survive.
And then it's reinforced when it's mandated that they take continuing medical education. All that brainwashing is reinforced over and over again with more drugs.
Who Dr. Slavin, provides that continuing medical education?
Drug companies.
What a surprise.
So the brainwashing is reinforced. It's perpetual. So you can understand the impact of brainwashing.
So here in medical school, exhaustion, overwork make you vulnerable to brainwashing. As a practicing physician, a week at a very luxurious resort will possibly make you more open to the brainwashing provided during that continuing medical education.
It's not that so much as when you look around and everybody else is doing the same thing, you say, well, this must be the way to do it. So when you're training, everybody is, you're just fitting in and you're doing everything the way everybody else does it. And then afterwards you go to the meetings and you reinforce everybody is still doing it this way. We're handing out drugs. We're not talking about vitamins or prevention. In fact, they don't allow vitamin companies into those meetings. Only the drug companies get in. So, this is what you have to understand. So when you go to a physician, you just have to understand where he's coming from, that he doesn't really have the knowledge to talk about the alternative approaches to either treating a disease or preventing a disease. Well, they never talk about preventing a disease because you never get there before you get sick. You get there after you're sick, so it makes his job easy. We'll give you a drug that's been, the doctor's been detailed on. Oh, I've got just the drug for your problem, instead of understanding what caused the problem, what you need to do to get better. And by the way, to do that takes time, and the doctors don't have time to spend with the patients. They just have time to write the prescription.
Okay, so that timing has been kind of mandated by the reimbursement from the insurance companies. Very, very interesting circle that we're finding here, and essentially it's a closed circle. You step out of that circle and you're in no man's land. When we come back from this break, I have some more questions for Dr. Slavin, so stay tuned. More to come.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Keep in mind, we are here every day, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. with the news that you can use to improve your good health. And I said that I had a question for Dr. Slavin. What was the impetus for you to break out of that medical school brainwashing? You had to receive the brainwashing, too.
Well, I think my goal was to keep people healthy, and that was directly opposite to what I was noticing. They weren't doing anything to keep people healthy. They were just treating people for whatever reason. In other words, nothing was
treating a disease.
Right, and I said, well, and the obvious question is, well, what did they do to make them sick? And what can we do to keep them from getting sick? That's how I thought the role of the physician should be that. And then what really, got my attention is then, people being treated for the disease and dying from the treatment. I said, well, that doesn't make too much sense. Specifically, these were patients that were going for bypass surgery and didn't make it out of the hospital. So I said, okay, there must be a safer alternative. You know, maybe some people it's a perfectly good approach, but for other people it may be too risky. What can we offer them? But it's really risky for everybody. If you don't, the risk of infection, the risk of complications from the surgery, the risk from the anesthesia. There are a lot of risks associated with bypass surgery. So you want to make sure that, as with any treatment, you make sure that if the risk is possibly dying, then the risk without doing it is dying. Now, well, that's what mainstream medicine is very good at, scaring you into thinking that. I have patients coming to chelation therapy for many years who were told they're going to die if they don't get their bypass. And this is what mainstream medicine is afraid of. When, as this information gets out to the public, they're going to opt for safer approaches than the more dangerous ones. So what they do to prevent that is they make sure the insurances cover their approach and not the safer alternative approaches.
And so many people are constrained by that inability to step out of the medical circle because it's going to be an out-of-pocket expense.
So in order to change someone's way of thinking, they have to be open-minded enough to understand that diseases don't begin when they get symptoms. That's the first point. You know, if you can't accept that notion that you're, in other words, the notion is that you're healthy until you feel sick. If that's the way you feel, then we can't help you. But if you can understand that diseases don't begin the moment the symptoms appear, that they were at a subclinical level, creating problems until it reached a certain point, now you're symptomatic, then you might ask yourself, okay, maybe I should know what's going wrong with my body before I feel it, so I can make the changes sooner.
It's interesting to me because you're talking about high-tech approaches that have some risks associated with them, surgery, the anesthesia, and so on. And so what I'm going to say is all those pharmaceutical drugs, they have risks as well, and they're called side effects. And unfortunately, far too few people acknowledge that they have a medication that is very much contributing to the dysfunction they're experiencing, and it is a side effect of the drug.
Well, that happens a lot, and I'll tell you how it happens. Patients will come in, and they'll have their complaints, and you do lab work, and you don't find anything wrong with them. The lab work is all normal. But they're taking drugs, and now the next step is you've got to go through all the side effects associated with drugs to see if their complaints could be attributed to a drug, and that's where you usually find the problem. And then we work to get the patients off the drug, because most drugs aren't necessary if you take the appropriate steps to correct the underlying problem.
And the possibility that the drug may be contributing to a deficiency in a particular nutrient, a deficiency in a particular function of the body, and the chemical is interfering with that function, the chemical pharmaceutical is interfering with the absorption or proper utilization of a specific nutrient, that nutrient having the capacity to overcome dysfunction in the body. And I think that's such an important point for people to understand. When you have the vitamin C that you were talking about before, has the capacity to interfere with the development of cataracts. It doesn't necessarily work alone. There are other micronutrients associated with that, but that's an astonishing statement that people think that there is just no getting around the development of cataracts. By the time I'm 75, 80, I absolutely will have to have cataract surgery. And indeed, proper nutrition, antioxidants, and, you know, I talk about the Jana juice, 2 capsules a day, boosting antioxidant status, boosting the ability to metabolize certain macronutrients like the vitamin C, the very, very great importance of bioflavonoids, that all comes together. And when you are highly nourished with quality substances, when you are in an accumulating area rather than a deficit, your potential for developing a whole range of different diseases. Let's talk about the coronary artery plaque, the systemic plaque that you might be accumulating, and testing here at Advanced Medical Testing Centers can give you that information on how it's developing. And yes, certain types of cholesterol, evaluating that and see where you stand, evaluating your inflammatory markers and see where you stand, and then providing the substances that are going to reduce inflammation, providing the substances that achieve balance. And what I'm thinking about with regard to balance is calcium. People may have very, very high calcium levels and possibly not adequate balancing magnesium levels. When you're able to properly metabolize that calcium, then it's not going to deposit in soft tissue and contributing to the development of plaque.
Right, and getting back to plaque, if you want to talk about that, Linus Pauling's theory was the deposition of plaque in the coronary arteries was from microtrauma due to a lack of collagen, due to lack of vitamin C. So you can see how the proper nutrition helps a lot of different things. I was looking up the incidence of cataracts in animals, and the reason for that was animals make their own vitamin C. You know, humans don't, but animals do. And it said here that elephants, horses, pandas, seals, orangutans all develop cataracts, but at a much lower incidence than, you know, other animals. And they say cats have a surprisingly low incidence. So, I mean, vitamin C is one component, but there are other components. And I think you mentioned probably the major component would be sugar.
Doing the damage, inflammation, neutralizing sugar and its ability to do its job.
That's why you want to look at your insulin levels.
Okay, so the starting point, We come back to that. Test your insulin levels. Very, very easily achieved here at Advanced Medical Testing Centers.
Yeah, fasting insulin level. The lower the number, the better. It's as simple as that. There are other tests too, you could do to get a better picture of actually what's going on. So besides the fasting insulin level, you can do a hemoglobin A1C, which is a reflection of your blood sugar over a three-month period. The fasting blood sugars aren't really that accurate or that helpful, because you can have a normal fasting blood sugar and still have elevated insulin levels. You can have a normal fasting blood sugar and still have elevated hemoglobin A1Cs. So then the best test to further define what if there's an issue or not is the glucose insulin tolerance test, where you check the levels at fasting, you give a glucose challenge, and then check the body's response to that sugar load. So those are the ways you could find out. And then you can reverse any abnormalities there just by changing your diet.
Okay, so if people came into Advanced Medical Testing Center and just wanted to do those tests, a fasting insulin level, glycohemoglobin, somebody can just walk in and pay for that, and they don't necessarily need a doctor's prescription. Is that correct?
That would be true, yes.
Okay. Okay, so here's if you, if any of our listeners are concerned about, well, I don't really want to ask my doctor for that test because he's going to say, well, what are you going to do with the results? And that is not something I work with. Well, you can work with it yourself as an individual. You can see what the reference range is. You can see where your blood test signals your fasting insulin level and see if that is very supportive of overall good health, because then you're seeing the potential for developing blood sugar anomalies. You're seeing the potential for that as a signal that something in your diet, something in your lifestyle is not where it needs to be. And you can get some guidance. You can come and see me with your insulin, fasting insulin results. You can bring it to your doctor and have a discussion with him and see that it isn't necessarily a pharmaceutical that's going to help you overcome this number, potentially elevated number. It is a very, very important number that you can change with your diet and lifestyle. And you've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world.